Well, dear friends, greetings this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. If you were to sit down and make a list of the many images found in the Bible from which Jesus teaches us about himself, you'd have a hard time coming up with one more common to his day and more applicable to ours than that of a shepherd who cares for his sheep. Now, maybe that sounds a bit strange for me to say that, if not a bit questionable, given the fact that we don't have too many shepherds and sheep wandering around in Silicon Valley. There are a number of CEOs, quite a few office managers, and more than enough workers to carry out the tasks. Once in a while, I guess, we see a few deer in the hills, a raccoon or an opossum wandering around. Believe it or not, we had a wild pig on our street down in Santa Teresa not a while back, and we've had even here on campus a few turkeys wandering around, but I won't even say any more about what I mean by that. But you're not going to find too many sheep herders, and certainly not many sheep. Add to that the fact that most of us don't want to be like sheep anyway. I mean, really, the idea of a meek, rather unintelligent animal being shepherded around, who in the world wants to be like a sheep? Who in our world would make that as a goal for their life? Can you imagine going to college and majoring in becoming a sheep? I mean, it wasn't happening. It still isn't. The trouble is that back then, and even today, the description fits more than we might realize. Who among us is not being led around and influenced by pressures of all kinds? Television, advertising, social media, government, politics, peer pressure, work relations and demands. Go down the list. Sports, weekend activities, money, power, staying up with and maybe even ahead of everyone else. We like to think we're independent. And to a degree, we are, but we're still part of a flock. And even when we do manage to escape from it now and then, it can have both good and bad results. Little wonder the Bible uses the imagery quite often. Little wonder it's an imagery we need to remember even today. Just think for a moment about how central this shepherding imagery really was. In the Old Testament, before he became the father of a great nation, Abraham was the keeper of great flocks. Before he was called by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses, for his father-in-law Jethro, was a tender of sheep. Young David, who became the greatest of all Old Testament kings, was a shepherd boy before ever taking the throne. Same thing with the prophets. Isaiah says that when the Messiah comes, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs into his arms. Ezekiel says that there will be one shepherd and there'll be one flock. Zechariah prophesies that the day will come when they will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the fold will scatter. In the Psalms, it's no different. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We read it today, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. So it is that the image of a shepherd and his sheep was common to the history and culture of Jesus' day. And so it is that Jesus picks up on this same imagery and gives to us one of the most powerful descriptions we have of who he is and what he has done for us. Remember the story? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, he says, is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Now, maybe this first point today is obvious, but when Jesus talks about himself as the good shepherd, the implication is that there are shepherds in this world that are not good. Jesus says there are those who claim to be shepherds, who claim to care deeply about those they called to lead. But when the troubles of this life come, he says, when the rubber of this life hits the road, so do they. Those who are the false shepherds, who care little about the sheep. There's a lot of talk these days about putting a new face on the $20 bill. I don't know what you think about all of that. It's a curious debate, whose picture it should be. I thought about asking if Pastor Judy would be willing to put her name up there, but I know she wouldn't go for it. I even thought about Pastor Jim, but I knew no one would go for that. You know, it's an interesting discussion. One of the side articles to this dollar bill debate was one about counterfeit money. It was interesting to read. Not that I was thinking about doing anything with it, but it was interesting. The article said there are more than a dozen different characteristics that can reveal a dollar bill as being a fake. It said that for the most part, unless you know what you're looking for, there's no simple way to tell which one is real. It went on to say, however, that to the trained eye, the one who knows what to look for, there are some basic differences that can easily give the counterfeit away. And we're not talking here about dollar bills. We're talking about shepherds and sheep. But dollar bills aren't the only thing in this life that can be a fake. Jewelry can be a fake. Antiques can be a fake. Paintings can be a fake. People can be a fake. Have you noticed that? You can fake an illness. You can fake self-confidence. You can fake being secure in this life. You can turn almost anything that is genuine into something that's not. Unless your eye is trained, it's not always easy to figure out which one is real. In the text today, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." He says there's nothing fake in what he brings. And he says there's a test you can apply that can reveal the difference. There's a way you can know whether or not the shepherd you are following is real. And he says it's simple. It's what happens when the wolf comes. When the wolf comes, he says, the imposter runs away. And he runs away because he's not a true shepherd. He's an imposter. He's a hired hand. He's little more than a fake. And he cares little, if anything, about the sheep. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." He says the good shepherd will never abandon those for whom he cares. Now let me ask you a question, and this is a bit of an aside for a moment. It might seem a bit random, but do you know the difference between a cow and a sheep? Do you know the difference? You're probably thinking, well, Pastor Dan's finally figured out the difference, all right? They are different, all right? Glad he's figured it out. Do you know the difference between a cow and a sheep? Cows are led from the back. Sheep are led from the front. You push a herd of cows in the right direction, you lead a flock of sheep where you want them to go. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." He says, "I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to force you down a certain path." But he says, "I'm the real deal. I'm not a fake. I'm not an imposter. I'm not a hired hand. And I'll lead you where you need to go. I'll make sure you end up where you need to be." I know we've talked about this before. You and I live in a day and age when people are searching in countless directions for which path to follow. They're looking for guidance, for direction, especially when it comes to their spiritual life. And they're following anyone willing to lead. They're going off in a variety of directions, even when they're not sure where they're going to end up. The trouble is, Jesus says, that there are wolves along the path. There are times and places when then people that will separate the real from the fake. And when that happens, there'll be no one left to follow and there'll be no path that is secure. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And he says, "You will not be in want. He'll lead you beside still waters. He'll make sure your path is secure." And there's nothing, he says, that will separate the good shepherd from his sheep. That's the first thing we find. He's the real deal. He's not a fake. The second is that the shepherd knows the sheep by name. He knows who they are. Jesus says, "I know my own and my own know me." He said, "I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd." Now again, we're talking about shepherds and sheep. I don't know how much you know about sheep. All I know is what I've read. From what I've read, being compared to a sheep is not a flattering comparison. Sheep aren't very smart. They easily become lost. They wander and they stray and they forget where they are and where they're supposed to be. I wonder, maybe that's why Jesus used the imagery. I'll let you be the judge. But it's true. Sheep are not very smart. There are a lot of things they don't know. What they do know is the shepherd's voice. What they do know is where and when the shepherd calls. A number of years ago, Mary and I had the chance to visit the Holy Land. I still remember the day we were traveling around. It seemed like we were in the bit of almost in the middle of nowhere. There were four flocks of sheep all around the same well. I remember wondering how the shepherds would ever figure out whose was whose. Well, the bus we were traveling on stopped and let us watch. It was fascinating. It turned out to be rather easy because the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And it happened. I mean, one flock at a time, the shepherds would begin to call and the sheep would begin to separate. And they'd follow where the shepherd walked and they'd figure out which sheep belonged to which shepherd. And it worked, and I was amazed. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice. They heard the voice of the one when he called. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I know my own, and my own know me. And there'll be one flock, he said, and one shepherd, and not one who strays, Jesus said, will be lost. Now you tell me, how many voices are there in this world calling out for us to follow? How many voices calling us to follow who know little, if anything, about who we are? Jesus knows who we are. He knows everything about your life, and he's calling you to follow. He's calling you by name. You ever felt like a number in this world? Like your name doesn't matter? I was on the phone this past week trying to get an answer to a simple question. I had to enter 5 different sets of numbers before getting a real person on the other end. And when I did, actually got someone to talk to, the first thing they asked me was to verify a number. It's like the woman in the orphanage talking to the census taker. You read about her, heard about her. How many people living in your home, he asked. Well, she started naming them. There's Lydia, there's Mary, there's Jonathan, there's Jose and Francis and Anna. And he said, before she could finish, the man said, I don't need to know all their names, I just need to know the number. And the woman said, sir, I don't know how many there are. All I know is their names. Now, Jesus knows the number, how many there are. Even the hairs on your head are known by God. More importantly, he knows your name, and he's calling you to follow. He's the good shepherd, and he wants you to follow and to trust. The question is, are you listening? The question is, are you paying attention to his voice? Jesus says the good shepherd is the real deal. He'll never lead you astray. Jesus says the good shepherd knows your name. He's calling you to follow, knows everything about your life. And Jesus says the good shepherd loves his sheep so much so that he was willing to give his life. Now again, I'm not a shepherd. I know little about sheep. What I do know is it was the shepherd's job to care for them and to keep them safe. And so even at night, when the sheep would wander from the pen, the shepherd's job was to lie at the gate and make sure that no animal would come and cause them harm. But if an animal did come, it would first have to pass by the shepherd. It was the shepherd's job to keep them safe. And so once in a while, you'd read stories about how the shepherd would actually sacrifice his life to protect the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In fact, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but 5 times in the verses we read, we find Jesus talking about laying down his life. 5 times he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And 2 of those times he says, I lay it down only to take it up again. What's he talking about? I think it's obvious. First, he's talking about the cross and about how he was willing as our good shepherd to give his life that we might have ours. Isaiah says, like a sheep led to the slaughter and like a lamb before its shearers is dumb, so Jesus opened not his mouth. Jesus went to the cross so that you and I would willingly went to the cross so that you and I might have our life. And second, Jesus is talking about what happened on Easter Sunday and about how his life was taken up again. On the third day, Jesus came back to life. And in so coming back to life, he opened the way for us into the kingdom. The writer of the Hebrews says, Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep who has gone before us into heaven. The amazing thing is, and this is how I'd like to close, that when it comes to Jesus, the good news of what he has done for us, not only is he the good shepherd, the one who cares for the sheep, but he becomes the lamb, the one who was sacrificed to pay the price. In the saving plan of God, the shepherd becomes a sheep. The one who protects becomes the one whose life is given away. The one called to watch over the flock and make sure it's safe is also the one who willingly dies that the sheep might live. Yes, my friends, it's a powerful image we've been given, common to Jesus' day and more than applicable to ours. It's also more than an image because it's built on and around the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done. He's the real deal. He knows your name, and he gave his life and took it up again that you and I might live. The shepherd we need, the Savior we have, is time to follow. Amen.